Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, I will say this as I begin this message. I love that line of that song that she sang. I didn't get it exactly, but I love you before you knew what love was all about. That line in that song was so powerful because he did, didn't he? Each and every one of us. We thought we knew, but we didn't. Well, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12 a little bit. I'm going to be going through some scripture. And this morning, many of you have been on a journey probably for a long time. Some of you may just be beginning your journey in the Lord. But it's important that each and every one of us can run with endurance the race that's set before us in the Lord. And so this morning I want to encourage you in that to run with determination and run with endurance. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about. Many of the people in the East, in the Mideast, and in China and all over the world have really suffered from a lot of persecution. And we really haven't went through a lot of persecution here in the United States. It's almost like we're kind of protected. But I feel like the Lord is really saying, be ready. Be ready for anything that would come your way. Make sure that you're so anchored in His Word that you can stand in the midst of anything. As a matter of fact, Hebrews, if you study this book, a lot of people say Paul was the author. They don't really know. But the book of Hebrews was for the first century church. And they were struggling. And they were struggling because they thought the Messiah was coming to rule and reign from Jerusalem, and that His kingdom was going to reign over all the earth. And they were right, but they didn't know it was going to take 2,000 years or that much longer. So they were getting a little discouraged. They didn't know the persecution that was going to come their way. But the Holy Spirit fell on all of them as the Holy Spirit is living in us, and we need to depend even more on the Holy Spirit to lead us forward and to guide us and to teach us and to train us and to move us. But they were going through persecution, and many of them were shrinking back. And so when you look at the book of Hebrews, a lot of times it was for the people of that day to say, come on, come on, don't shrink back, keep going for it. You know, stay in the race. Don't shrink back. And so even today, I feel like that's what God is saying to us, that we can't shrink back. And that's why I was pointed to that book, because God wants to prepare us. I believe there's a fire that's coming. I believe there's a furnace that's coming, and that many of us are going to go through some things. But in the midst of that, just so you know, there's all kinds of hope, and that there's a fire of revival that's moving in our midst. And there's a fire of revival that's going to happen across the land. And God promises that in His Word. And many times that does come through persecution. So we don't really know a whole lot about persecution. Some of us may. Sometimes, you know, if somebody says something wrong on Facebook about us, we're done. We're leaving. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Okay, just a little word. Oh, I'm done, you know. These little Christian things that happen, and they say you call yourself a Christian, and all of a sudden we're shrinking back from our calling and destiny in God because some little something was said about us somewhere, whether it be a tweet or on Facebook or anywhere. We can't let anything keep us from our destiny and our calling in Jesus. We've got to be ready to walk it out anytime, any place, anywhere. And so we know that the Hebrew church, A lot of them left Judaism. We know that they were rejected. We know that they also lived in a hostile environment. And I kind of believe that we're going to see more of a hostile environment toward the church of Jesus Christ. Because as the days, many of you have heard this over and over, but as the days grow closer to His return, we know that darkness and light are going to increase. Darkness is going to increase, but light is going to increase. Light walked into that club and increased in that club down in Kokomo. That's the kind of light and brilliance that's going to begin to move from us and through us. I had a pastor call me from Fort Wayne, and he said to me, he goes, hey, want to know what's going on with this Revive Indiana? And I basically just told him, I said, listen, it's about the kingdom going forth. There's not much mentioned about anybody's church or any particular speaker, not any particular worship team. It's just God beginning to move in the midst of the people. And I said, the church is basically just doing what they always should have been doing in the first place. And I said, we've got an anointed evangelist that came into the region, and he started equipping the church and gathering people together, and people are getting saved, and the church is increasing. And we're believing for all of Indiana to be set ablaze by the revival that God's doing. And I just told him, I said, you know, don't bring a formula. Don't bring a formula. Don't try to get a formula on this thing. It's God. Because you got Mennonites, and you got Baptists, and you got Methodists, and you got some charismatics going like this and loving every minute of it, because they're going, you sure God can do this way? I thought, no, yeah, exactly, he can. And some of you know what I'm talking about. When God does things sometimes not at this real intense level, we just kind of almost like, well, was that God? Hey, that person just repented and accepted Jesus Christ into his heart, and he's set apart for all eternity with Jesus. That's God. Now, is there a greater fire coming? Yes. Yes. It's coming. All right. Hostile environment. The West, for the most part, men and women, haven't really went through a whole lot. But God is calling each and every one of us to lay down our lives. And we see that throughout Scripture that sometimes, you know, children leave mothers, mothers and fathers. I mean, it divides families when Jesus is presented for who he really is sometimes in families. But we have to know that God wants us together, but we can't really sacrifice anything except for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. We can't conform to what somebody wants us to be when God is calling us to be all that we can be in him. And so we got to make sure that we have our mind into the Word and our heart into the Word. We live in this time that the refiner's fire of God is moving, and it's going to move first upon the church. And he's going to refine us. The divide will get greater. The darkness will get greater. The light will get greater. And as a people, we will learn to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and not love our lives unto death. Unto death. Or, this is the other side of that divide. Or, because the Bible is very clear, we're going to become enraged against the Anointed One. We're going to become offended. We're going to shake our fist at him. Because as he begins to move, it says that many in the church will fall away. So there'll be another dividing line that's going to shake their fist at the Lord. And say, no, this isn't God. And many people are saying, God is a God of love. Absolutely, he's a God of love. But he's not a God of love without Jesus in the equation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's two questions that I want you to get and write them down that you're going to be asked, every one of you. And it's, who do you say Jesus is? I've said this before. Who is Jesus? You're going to have to give an account of that question. And then the other thing is, what do you say about God's Word? What do you say about God's Word? Do you believe that God's Word is the infallible Word of God? You're going to be asked those questions. Those are the two that you're going to have to answer as the time begins to move forward. And some people will get enraged, and some people will shake their fist. I have a video that I wanted to show, and I want to put it up on the screen. This probably would be a good time. It's just a quick little video. And I'm going to stop it at 49. Now, this is a volcano that erupted. Many of you might have seen this. Maybe you didn't see this. This happened in Chile. Go ahead and just run that for a minute, if you can, with the sound.
That volcano erupting back to life for the first time in 40 years. Tonight, a state of emergency as they now prepare for an even bigger eruption. And look at this. A hiker capturing the moment in Chile. The volcano wakes up, sending ash into the air. Thousands evacuated. Planes being rerouted. Dramatic new images streaming in tonight. This drone footage, plumes of smoke filling the sky. And look at these homes, simply covered in ash tonight. Just hours ago, our team flying right toward that volcano, and ABC's Matt Gutman with the pictures.
Tonight, that moment, the Calbuco volcano exploded.
Wow.
A hiker, incredibly, capturing the eruption that would pump ash 9 miles into the air. This just-released drone video also capturing the fire-breathing mountain coming to life for the first time in more than 40 years. So,
now, I want you to look at that. Is that an amazing sight or what? And the reason I just wanted to capture that is that the God of Genesis 1, who created everything, is the one that we give our heart to. He is the one that holds everything, the stars, everything in his hands. He holds it all. He's the one that we trust. This is a volcano, but he controls everything. God knows everything, okay? He's the creator of everything. And many times we're like little ants down here, and we're going to say, we don't accept your word in our schools. We're not going to accept that anymore. This is the impact. This is God we're saying this to. God holds everything. Many of you know, and I don't know the exact science of it, but even as the earth is tilted on its axis, if it turns just a little bit, everything shifts and changes. We're in his hands whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not. And so when we think we're going to stand against, this is just one volcano. And I'm like, ah! As soon as I showed that to Christy, I said, Christy, I want to show this tomorrow. Soon, I said, stop it at 49. She goes, ooh, there's a face in there. There's a face and eyes and, you know, and I was like, well, okay. Kind of looks that way. But anyway, okay, you can stop it now and go back. Anyway, that's why I wanted to make the point in saying, who are we kidding? Don't we know who we're standing against? Again, turn to, and we've went there. There's probably people that haven't went there that's here. Turn to Psalm 2 real quick. I have a little time. I'm gonna run through this real quick. This is the most prophetic psalm out of all the psalms. And I want you to look at it. I want you to read it over and over. And the first three verses is the kings of the age crying out and coming against God. The next three verses is God the Father speaking. The next three verses is Jesus the Son coming in agreement with the decree. The final three verses is King David saying, come on, you got to do something, guys. You got to discern what's going on. So let's look at it. Here are the nations, and this is the time in which we're living exactly right now. Why are the nations in an uproar? And the people devising a vain thing. They're plotting. The kings of the earth take their stand. They're unified in taking a stand against God. And the rulers take counsel together against Jesus, his leadership and his word, against the Lord and against his anointed, against the Father and against his anointed, the anointed one being Jesus, the Messiah, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Let's get God's word as far as we can away from us. This is a prophetic psalm. Tell me we're not living in that time right now. We are. Look at verse 4. Here's the Father. He who sits on the in the heavens, the Father, he laughs. He laughs. He's going, what are you doing? What are you doing? He laughs. The Lord scoffs. He basically mocks these people that are standing against Israel, that are standing against the Christians, and he mocks them. Because they devised all these terrible things. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, the Father, Yahweh, I have installed my king. Jesus, I've installed my king. Nothing you're going to do is going to stop it. It's going to happen. My king has been installed upon Zion, my holy mountain. In Jerusalem, and verse 7, the next three verses, here's Jesus, and it comes on the scene saying, I will surely tell of the decree of the Father, because the Father, he said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Remember when that happened? Okay? Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possessions. This is a decree back to the Father. You shall break them with rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. That's what's going to happen. Those that do not come to the Lord, he's going to shake everything that can be shaken except his kingdom, and he's going to shatter everything, and he's coming back not as a baby in a manger or a broken man on a cross. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the conquering king, and he's going to govern from Jerusalem for all eternity. And that's what's available to us. That's what's at stake with us right now. And then, of course, King David comes on the scene, verse 10. He says, "Now, therefore, O kings, why don't you please show some discernment? Why don't you take the warnings that God's given you?" It says in Romans chapter 1 that everybody knows God. Everybody knows that there's a God. Everyone does because of his creation. They know that there's a God. So he says, "Take warning, O judge of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence." He's saying, "Humble yourself, please. Don't you know what's coming? And rejoice with trembling." Then it says, "Do homage to the Son. Humble yourself and exalt the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way." Somehow King David was able to see Jesus in many different ways, and he knew that he was the conquering king. "For his wrath may soon be kindled," it says. It says, "Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled." How blessed, and here it is, and this should be us. This should be us. "How blessed are all those who take refuge in him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will enter into the kingdom of heaven except through the Son, Jesus, the King of glory." And this is what's at stake right now. So you take that prophetic psalm and read it often and know that, okay, whoa, this is exactly what's taking place. This is what's happening. Let's keep going. The word says that the wheat and the tares are going to grow together. I'm just kind of laying it out. So pressure is going to increase. People will rage against Jesus. They're going to rage just like Psalm 2 against our beloved Jesus. They're going to rage against his leadership. They're going to rage against his book, the Holy Bible. And they're raging against the one who holds the stars. That's what that psalm is all about, and that's what they're going to do. We're going to see a time where people are going to shrink back in faith, but we're also going to see a time that people are going to increase in faith. We will see many coming to the faith, and they're going to be on fire, and they're going to love the Lord, and they're going to get rid of everything they have and go and follow the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind that it's happening now and will continue to happen, and they're going to leave everything behind for Jesus. But also there will be people that will deny him, and this is the hard part. Because of what the scripture says, there will be men and women of faith that you're probably even maybe looking to even now that may shrink back. We hope not. We pray not. But may shrink back and turn away from God and turn to some sort of lukewarm religion. I'm just telling you that. And many of you have questions right now. Let me tell you, ask the questions. Find out what the Word of God says. Don't take anything for granted that's spoken from this pulpit. Seek the Lord and seek his word and study it out and know what God is saying to your heart in this time. And if we speak, like here you are sitting under the word, and I feel like the Lord called me to be able to preach, and you know, that's why he anointed me to be passionate about Jesus. And that's something that's in my heart. And so you sit under that and some of that gets on you, but you know what? All of you are passionate too, and you need to get a lot of you on a lot of other people in Jesus, okay? You need to share your faith. When you share your faith, you begin to change. When you share your faith, you get excited. You get bold. You get joyful when you share your faith, and you need to do that. Step out. So, and I hope that none of us will deny him, of course. But many are wrestling, even today. You know, with what's going on in their lives. Maybe there's some things that people don't know about that you're wrestling with. And God's saying, I'm encouraging you to press in so God can deliver you. You must know and you must believe and you must press into the things of God. We're about ready to go through a furnace. And that furnace, it says in the scripture that he's going to purify and judge the church first. That furnace is a purification of God's people, of his leaders, of his shepherds, and especially those that are tickling the ears of people and trying to cause division more than unity in the body of Christ. The God of love, definitely a God of love, but don't ever take Jesus out of the equation. And I can't say this enough. Tuesday night, David Raymer, that you not be deceived. Make sure to come to that Tuesday night meeting and get equipped even more to not be deceived in the days ahead. We're in an intense season in the body of Christ. As I said, many will draw back. A crisis is probably upon us and is going to happen. And the ideology that we have in the church will surface if we're rooted deeply and grounded in love and in the Word. And what I said earlier is going to have to be taken at face value. Who do you say Jesus is? That's going to be a key. And what do you believe about the Holy Word of God? These two things are primary and will always be primary. And you need to understand that. We're going to be tested. Every man in this and woman in this room is going to be tested because of true faith. Are we going to be a people of true faith? Are we going to have fiery faith? Are we going to move forward? Are we going to please God? Hebrews chapter 12, it's the chapter after the great faith chapter in chapter 11, when there's so much spoken about all the great men and women of faith throughout the Bible. And he's doing that to that church because they were struggling. And so even today, if you're wrestling with something, I'm trying to encourage you and encourage myself to press in, and to know what God has for us. Acts broke out. You know, in the second chapter of Acts, revival, persecution, things broke out. The book of Hebrews is talking about having real faith. Do you have real faith? It's not, faith is not mind over matter. That because I can think a certain way, I can will myself to do something. That's not faith. That's trouble. That's trouble. That I think I can will it in my mind. Now, a renewed mind is awesome. But you can't will it in your mind to be a person of faith. A person of faith that wells up from the inside. And your faith, because look at what we're doing. We are singing right now. We were singing earlier, and I'm speaking right now about Jesus. And unless you've had a vision or something, we're talking about somebody we have not even seen. You guys are in this room worshiping somebody you haven't even seen. And they call us a peculiar people. Wonder why. But why are we worshiping? And why? Because of faith. Because of our faith. And because of the Holy Spirit. And because of how he's revealed himself to us in love. But we haven't seen him. I saw a face in the sand. But it was a face in the sand. And it was huge. But it was in the sand. And God was speaking to me, changing my life. So God, we're talking about that. So our faith is going to have to increase. Now, in Hebrews 11:1, many of you know the scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for. There goes back to that message again. I'm spitting all over the place. Good. There's nobody up there. It's good. It goes back to that message that David Raymer gave, the power of hope. Of hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, or the conviction of things not seen. It's our faith is what we hope for of what all that God has revealed to us through his word and through our hearts. And so we have this faith to believe and to know and to live in that place and trust his word and trust him and all that he's going to do. Jesus Christ right now is the most popular person on the face of the planet. No one is more popular than Jesus Christ. No one. And they haven't seen him. It's faith. Engaging our faith. And then, of course, the evidence of things not seen. Guess who's the evidence of things not seen? You are. You are. Because you're sitting in this room, you're trusting Jesus with your life. Because that Mennonite woman had the courage and the faith to go inside a place to proclaim Jesus, that evidence changed the hearts of those young ladies and pulled them back into their calling. It's faith in us that begins to well up. And God wants us at the drop of a hat. Boom, let's go. Let's get out in the mall. It's not a formula. It's not about this and that, getting it all just so right so everything is going to be okay. Oh, I think it's going to be perfect now. It is never going to be perfect. There's a furnace coming, and that is a purifying fire. Many of you have been in it, and many of you have been through it, but it's a preparation for this on fire, glorious church to arise in the midst of great crisis and proclaim the truth of their beloved. That's what's going to happen. I'm best in a fight. I'm not best just sitting around. I'm best in a fight of standing for something, for who he is and what he's done for us. The scripture says only the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm not calling anybody that. I know what the scripture says about that. The scripture says that. You are saying there is more to life. You are saying when you trust him, you're saying there's more to life than what you see and what you have. He rewards. And I want to say straight up, this life that we're in right now is not in vain. It's not, we're past the salvation, if we're saved, if you're saved, we're past the salvation thing. We got salvation. But God wants us, he wants to reward us. That's what he wants to do. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 23 through 27. This is Moses. I just want to read this one before I take the last 10 minutes to share on Hebrews 12. Starting with verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict, which is his law or his rule. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather, here's that enduring, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That's a big one. So, having a bad day, well, look what Moses went through. Consider the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he did. For he was looking to what? The reward. But faith, by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Faith, unseen. There it is again. Go over to Hebrews 12. When we get into a battle, when you get into a battle, don't check out. Endure. Press in. Walk it through. We need endurance at the beginning and at the end. So when you get in a battle, when you get in those battles, don't check out. We need to understand what it's all about. And this is how. Okay, you think of the faith chapter, chapter 11. The writer has just spoken this to the people, okay? He just spoke this out to the people. All about the many in faith. And then he says, therefore, since he told them all about these great men and women of faith, he says, therefore, since we have such a great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, meaning all of them, because they're in a cloud of witnesses around us, their spirit is, okay, let us all lay aside every encumbrance, say every encumbrance, and the sin which so easily, say easily, easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance. Endurance, the race that is set before us. And this is how we do it. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Who's the joy set before him? You, me. Come on now. For the joy set before him, he knew that he was making a way for us. He endured the cross. Praise Jesus. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. I pray that over you. I pray that over myself. That in the midst of any trial, in the midst of any battle, that we not grow weary and we not lose heart in Jesus. There are so many prophetic people in this room, even right now. God is going to light things up through the prophetic, through the holy prophetic. And I really mean that. Because he said in these days, many are going to prophesy. And they're not going to be pillow prophets. They're going to be men and women that are standing in faith, proclaiming truth. And it's going to be hard at times. It's going to be hard on them. But if we're going to be the body of Christ he's called us to, we've got to function. I was talking with some ladies here at the beginning, and I love one of the things that was said was that looking at all the pastors on the list said, you know, there must not be a bunch of jealousy in this church to have that many pastors, because you don't have that many pastors if you got a bunch of jealousy going on. Here's the point I'm making. It's about the kingdom. It is not about one man, one prophet, one apostle, one pastor, one teacher, one evangelist. And I guarantee you that Kyle Martin would say, get your eyes off of me and get them on what God's doing. Come and see what God's doing. Come and see what God's doing. Because that's really the authentic kingdom of God. All praise and everything goes to him. And all of you have been trained to know the kingdom, to live in the kingdom, to press into it. Okay. I just got through reading scripture, right? Yep. Okay. Let me close it up with this right here. Every one of us in this room will stumble. I'm not putting that on anybody. Every one of us in this room will stumble. Every one of us in this room will be let down from time to time. And every one of us in this room will probably, being overcomers, many of us being overcomers, will have a day that we didn't overcome. It's just part of living in this fallen world. I loved David Raymer last week when he shared his heart about sometimes it takes 10 minutes to get his feet on the ground, and he feels just like the enemy pressing in. For a pastor like that to be that transparent, that's huge. I don't want to get off where I'm going here, but I remember when I said at the beginning I had something to say? I just remembered it. Just popped in. Charles, you saw Charles leave? Charles asked so he could leave because his mama, they just lost Charles' daddy, and Charles' mama couldn't go to church this morning. It was a little too cold for her because she's really up in age. And he said, Bob, can I just go over? I need to go over and be with my mom. I said, absolutely. Michael Johnson right now is with his son on a tournament playing basketball in Indianapolis. David Raymer called this morning and said, the kids are so sick, I think I need to stay home and help Steph. The reason I say that is because, yeah, we want everybody to come. I'd love for everybody to show up just one time. Probably be a lot of people in this place. Just one time, just everybody show up one time. But the fact is this. It's about church isn't an add-on. Church isn't put in your schedule. It's about life, and it's about living for the kingdom. It's about being sensitive to one another and not judging. And that's what God's wanting out of us as a people. And we're going to see a church without walls. We're going to see it. And I believe some of the fiery trials are going to bring us into that. I know. It's crazy. So if you fall or you stumble and back on track, get up. It's a process, I know, but get up and say yes. I think it was Missy Edwards said this. She said, you know, there are no super saints. There's only those Christians that fall and get back up and say yes again. There's no super saints in here. There's just a bunch of people that keep saying yes to Jesus because they know it's truth. They know it's life. Some quit, some don't. Get back in the race. Keep your eyes fixed on him. You can redeem your time. If you've lost some time, you can redeem your time. God can do so much in 10 days that it would take you 10 years to figure out and try to do. He can redeem your time. Don't you say, oh, man, you know, I've lost all the time. Don't say that. Man, you know what I'm turning next week? My birthday? You know, don't say that. These are all the generations of God, the young, the middle, the old, all of us, the older, all together. For God, at the end of the age, standing as a fiery bride that's ready for her wedding day. That's what it's all about. That's about a preparation that she is absolutely lovesick, and she knows. She does not play and want to play any petty games about this, that, and the other. And oh, I saw that coming. She just wants to love God and pray for those that fall, that get back up and say yes again. 29 people were prophesied over last Tuesday with encouraging words. And everything that I heard was just powerful. From all over the region, they came out. God's going to teach us and prepare us for the crisis that's coming. But people got saved. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. Get back in the race. You can do this. These are early morning writings. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Salvation is a free gift, but run the race with endurance for the reward that's coming. Are you looking at him? Are you fixing your eyes on him? Jesus ran his race according to the Father. He listened to the Father. Are you listening to what he's saying to you? Are you running your race according to what's popular, what's good, or what pressure comes your way? Or are you running your race because you're listening to the Father? You're listening to the Son. The Son was able to do what he did because he listened to the Father. The Son left and said, hey, the Holy Spirit's coming. Don't worry. When the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to figure this thing out. You're going to understand. How much are you asking the Holy Spirit to have its way in your life each and every day? You have to ask. It's just not a boom and you're good. It's a process. The booms come, but it's a process of hunger. And knocking and seeking and going after him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. The Holy Spirit wants to pour the love of God into your heart like never before. And we need him every day. Now, this is the last thing of the last things. He wants you to know that the safest place for you to be in any crisis is in the place of intimacy with Jesus. That's what he wants you to know. And if you have that, you have more than enough. He'll speak to you. No safe place outside the intimacy of God. No safe place outside the intimacy of God. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand? Make sure your ideology is right with God and with his word. Our whole nation is moving in an ideology away from God. Make sure, and we need to pray for everyone in office, that they would encounter God from the top on down. Our ideology is going to get rocked if it's not anchored in the Word. As I said earlier, the people who you think they're most solid will fall away from the faith, and it will shake you. But what do you believe? What are you connected to? What do you fix your eyes over on? Number one, who do you say Jesus is? Number two, what do you believe about the Word of God? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just ask for you to have your way. Let this message be a message of encouragement to my brothers and my sisters. Let this be a trumpet blast. We know that in your word in Hebrews 13, it says everything that can be shaken will be, except everything that's of your kingdom. Let your love continue in us. And Let it increase. Really, God, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. And let us, as a people, as a body, run with endurance the race that is set before us. And may we fix our eyes on Jesus, Yeshua, the author and perfecter of our faith. May faith arise even today. May it increase. And may the blazing fire of the Holy Spirit bring forth a peace that passes all understanding. And may not one root of bitterness come up in us as we see the days coming forward. And let us proclaim your goodness, your mercy, for it endures forever. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. Love you, Holy Spirit. Our prayer is, have your way in us. As we say, not our will, but your will be done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Spread the word about overcoming deception at the end of the age this Tuesday. And be praying for Revive Indiana. Stay in Hebrews 11 and 12 for a while. God bless you.